Hey everyone, it's Ben with Startup Chats. I hope you're all doing really well. We've got Sharon Brown from the USA, and very excited to have Sharon on board. She's an incredible woman. She's an entrepreneur. She's started numerous businesses, and I don't really know where to begin. I mean, there's probably been so many, Sharon. So let's just dive straight into it and share with me, we'll share with the audience a bit about yourself, your background, and we'll sort of just dive into it, really. That'd be great.
Absolutely. I think that's the best way. Well, thank you so much, Ben. I'm so excited to get a chance to just chat with you. I am an investor. I'm an advisor. I am an entrepreneur, and I've launched over 197 physical products, SaaS products and services. As an investor, I focus on SaaS mainly in the areas of really anything that helps improve the user experience. So anything from meal planning, which is actually an acquisition I just did, food, pets, wearables, AI, a number of different things in that area. So I love to speak through that lens for people in startup world, because that's ultimately what you need is funding and advisory to fuel growth and to scale. So that's the things I like to share. And then in terms of the things that I've done as an entrepreneur, where the lens that I look at as an advisor is being able to share what are those levers that you want to really pull on to actually transform your idea for a physical product, SaaS product or service into a revenue-ready launch.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's so many people that, start businesses, start tech startups, are walking that path for the very first time. They don't know where to turn or what advice to seek. And I think, sometimes, they need to make those mistakes themselves. But equally, if they can find the right people to connect with or learn from, then that's going to be invaluable and hopefully could avoid a lot of those mistakes.
Yeah, it's so well said, Ben. And, it was one of the things that I was getting a lot of entrepreneurs through Illuminate Network and the Product Launch Lab. They're people at varying stages of their growth. Some very experienced entrepreneurs who are just looking for more structure and advisory and support. And then obviously people that are new and just now trying to get the ball rolling. And that's what led me to create and launch Amplify Equity, for the purposes of really providing that advisory level support to help entrepreneurs and startups grow and scale. So really, obviously, we focus on really those types of businesses that are already generating revenue and really have things together. But that's where the sweet spot is knowing what that idea is, what your market is, and then being able to transform that into something that's revenue ready, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And do you find, in your experience that, you're probably speaking to those businesses who have, like you said, have launched, they are driving revenues already, which is obviously great. Do you see that, they may have sort of jumped, didn't do the right steps right at the beginning, like pre-launched when they were thinking about launching and made those mistakes and now luckily evolving, or do you just don't get to see that early phase before they actually launch it and help them before they can make those mistakes? Do you ever get involved with that really early stage?
Yeah, that's well said. That's exactly the reason I created the Product Launch Lab. It was to have that platform, that hub, that of where people could, I'm just sharing basically my blueprint, things that I wish I had in place. And it really came from all the different products and services that I launched, millions and millions of dollars worth when I was in sort of the corporate sector, without having any real framework. And then as an entrepreneur, when I'm spending my own money, I realized, wow, I need to have a framework. I created that and for the purposes, for my own purposes, and it really made the difference. I was able to launch award-winning physical product that was in, the Four Seasons Hotel and and the Grammy gift bags. And then I was able to launch lots of SaaS and tech products and services. So it's about really being able to do the launch and have a framework and a blueprint that's repeatable, reproducible, no matter where you are in the journey. And so to just focus in on what you asked, absolutely. Having that place where you can at least know what the steps are and then what's the next step after that. So that's really where that sits in terms of the product launch lab, starting early, helping people start off right. And even if you launch before, when you're in a relaunch, how to maybe go back and do some things better.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? I've come across a lot of businesses all the time, in all honesty, that just don't think that much about, you know, the strategy, even to the extent of, you know, who their audience is, and really drilling down on to that level. They often, again, just from experience, they often just think, oh, let's just get the product, let's just get it out there, and boom, we're launched. And it's like, okay, you know, sort of tumbleweeds. Where are the people? It's not happening. Okay, now we better start thinking about how we're going to market it. How do we do that? I don't know. How do we do that? And they sort of then stumble along a bit. But I think if people can realize that there is a process to follow before you even launch, then that's only going to sort of set them up for hopefully success.
Yeah. And one of the things that comes along with that, Ben, I will say that, and a lot of the pretty much everything I share comes from 2 decades plus of experience as an entrepreneur, but also surveying hundreds and hhundreds, over probably 1,000+ entrepreneurs in all different sectors and genres over the years. And one of the things that I will say without question, a lot of times people really don't know what they don't know, and that's okay, you can get there, but really are looking to create the perfect solution before they launch. And one of the great things that I always try to encourage for entrepreneurs or people in that realm is recognizing the value and driving to get market feedback, right? And really putting it out there. You should not want to put all the bells and whistles in whatever you're launching, right? You want to get it out there, and it doesn't have to be feature perfect, right?
But yes,
what are those core sets of features with which you want to test in the market, and then you can, you know, iterate, right? That's the whole process. And my whole driver is ultimately, and what really fuels me, is to have as many people with the passion of running a business to be launched successfully, and where I can even help as an advisor for them to grow and scale. And that's the whole, you know, really the beauty of it.
No, for sure. That's fantastic. And, do you want to talk about the blueprint a little bit, to sort of talk about some of those points? Because I thought they were quite interesting.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So one of the things that, just sort of a broad brush, and anyone can feel free to, I suppose you can offer the link for people to
download
the blueprint themselves. Absolutely. You can find that on illuminatenetwork.com. That's E-L-U-M-I-N-A-T-E network.com. And then if anybody wants to reach out to me, of course, they can find me on amplifyequity.co. But in terms of the blueprint, the core steps around that is being clear on what your idea is. And that's one of the things I always say. Many times we think we're clear, but it's not really clear. And not having that clarity on what that thing is that you're looking to deliver or launch in the market is the thing that's going to cost you the most in terms of time, money, and resources, right? So that's kind of key. And so I share with people, as part of the blueprint, really a framework that I use to help really spell it out and make it super easy to do that. And then along with that, what does that look like? What actually does it look like? That's one of the key drivers that has been, I think, a hallmark of success that I've had in launching different tech and non-tech products and services. And I always say, if you don't know what your product or service looks like, really looks like, not in a fuzzy, warm and fuzzy feeling, but what does it look like? You're going to have a very difficult time with the implementation, right? So part of the core around just, you know, giving highlights on that in the blueprint, but specifically in the Product Launch Lab as a resource, is really driving that. What are those core deliverables? So therefore, when it comes time to build, whether it's a service, whether it's a SaaS software as a service implementation, or it's an actual physical product, you now have what are those core things to focus on. That's going to make your delivery so much easier. Therefore, you will be able to turn it around faster, save money, save resources, save time and aggravation. And those are some of the key things. And then all the way leading up to the point of really where you are driving to get your product or service into the market, you would have had success because you would have been able to, as part of the build process, whether it's a product or service, you would have validated and verified your product or service. So you don't have that aha or OS moment. You figure out what the S means. Right? once you've actually launched and no one's buying your product or service, you know, you don't have that kind of thing happening because you would have validated at key points during the build, and that's where it makes a difference.
Definitely. And I guess certainly with the SaaS side of things and technology businesses, it's, you know, like you said earlier, it's very much a constant evolution, isn't it? So I guess it's a case of getting the product out there as quickly as possible and listen to the market. So I guess you can do an element of validation pre-launch, but certainly I'd imagine it's just constantly listening to the community, the audience, you know, what their feedback is, and keep a close eye on that, because yeah, I always say a user group of one is very dangerous because we think we know it all, but invariably we don't.
Yeah, it's so true. But I love the way you frame that. It, absolutely, it's about listening to the audience, and it's something I definitely push. The next step to that is the action, though. And sometimes we can, as entrepreneurs, we become so paralyzed into the listening and re-listening and getting more insight and more feedback, right? Get to that analysis paralysis, and therefore we never get to implementation. Implementation, and this is for everybody, wherever you are, whatever corner of the world you are, if you're going to launch, implementation is the only thing that matters. So you can have the best ideas in the world, right? But if we can't implement them, if we can't actually get it out into the market, it's almost the same as not having an idea at all. And that's kind of harsh maybe, but it's true, right? And my whole thing is to really, and that's what drives me, is to really encourage that in anyone who even remotely thinks they have something to offer the world, because there's someone that needs perhaps what you have to offer, but if you can't get it out there, if you can't implement it and just get it to test it, to see how the response is, and then take it to the next level.
Sharon, when you say the implementation is sometimes the biggest challenge that people have, or the biggest, I guess, area that they possibly fail at, can we get a bit more granular? What do you mean by that? What do you see happening on the ground?
Yeah, that's so literally not creating that widget, literally not creating that platform.
So talking about it, having the idea, doing an element, but haven't quite got it out the door.
Haven't gotten out of the door. And you know what's even a layer of that that sometimes doesn't get spoken about? Sometimes people launch something adjacent to what they really want to launch. And that's still not doing it, right? So if you put a survey out there, or if you put a landing page out there, that's not, you know, you've got to go full in, you know? So get the bloody thing going, right? and make it the journey, of course, is important, but actually getting to the launch and being mindful that there's absolutely not one product or service, you can rest assured in this, this is for everyone, there's not one product or service that's ever been launched in the history of the universe that has been perfect, when it first goes out the door. I could guarantee that without me knowing every product or service that's ever been launched.
I 100% concur. Honestly, I 100%.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because people often look at the, you know, the successful business or product as it is now, but they either they weren't aware of it before, or certainly have forgotten about how it was. And I sort of look at it a little bit like, you know, when you look at people when they first do their YouTubes or their first podcast or whatever, it's usually awful. But it's a journey. It's a journey, isn't it? And you got to start from somewhere.
Right. And that's the thing. And just to break that down a little bit for the audience, the reason why people get stuck is because the idea has never been validated. And the reason why people get stuck is because they're not clear on what the major components of what they're trying to build include. So you have to be able to solve for that part of the equation. If you're trying to build a turbine engine, right? Maybe a wind farm. that was your idea. Okay, yeah. God bless you. But what are the major components of building that thing? Have you thought that through in terms of the blades and the site and the interconnectivity of, you know, what are those major components? And that's just the start. But you have to start somewhere, and you have to be crystal clear around that. And another example, a more specific example that I've used, I've never built a wind turbine, but I use that because I think it's funny because no one I know really has. But and one of the examples I love to share is from my real world of if I'm building a new app or a new product, and if all I can think of, maybe it's a technical product, all I can think of is hardware, software, networking. I know I have no idea what this thing is I'm trying to build. I need to go figure this out. I need to go dig a little deeper. And so that's the same type of level of foresight is what I'm sharing everyone should want to have around whatever that thing is you want to build. And really being able to get to that next iteration. And even for those of people who have actually launched before, maybe you're realizing you're not having as much success with that launch. And I can typically trace it back to areas where key components of that build have been missed. And just, you know, those are the types of things that matter, especially as an advisor, especially, you know, my role as an investor and advisor, trying to really help people see, well, what does that look like in terms of the synergies that need to be in place in order to go from the idea to actually implementation of that idea to now growth, to now scaling that launch.
And Sharon, when we talk about validation, I guess there's a never ending element of validation throughout a whole life of a product, even after it's launched. But do you find there's, I guess, a limit to the validation you can do pre-launch, particularly, or challenges, particularly when it's around maybe a product that maybe isn't familiar, or it's a completely new product to the market, both in terms of trying to explain what it is and then trying to get validation on it pre-launch, but then sort of obviously post-launch people can then use it and then you get the onward validation. Is it quite hard to get validation early before launch? Do you find it from experience?
That's a really great question. And so the answer is, of course, it would depend, but there's something that I think is very, very important, and that question that you ask is so important, is because one of the things that we all should be doing as part of that validation, it might be something completely brand new with which you're trying to launch, meaning there is no benchmark. It's a brand new product or service. So what in the world could you possibly validate around that? One of the things that I can validate is the user experience. I can validate that Ben is having challenges with burning his toast every morning. And so what might that look like in terms of how my solution, how my product or my service is going to solve for that why? right? That's where you want to go in terms of the validation, in terms of the user experience and drilling into that.
The granular detail.
You got it, my friend, because then what that's going to uncover for you is get to requirements. And I should share with everybody, my background in the world is in spending time as a certified business analyst and Six Sigma Master Black Belt and all those kind of things. I think of processes and I think of really all these important points because they go into creating great products and services. And you know, and it's okay to realize that you might be the first into market for something and not let that scare you. But if you just dig into what do you know or what can you validate, and that's going to be around, like I said, things like the experience or clearly the integration points between how someone is dealing with a pain point and ultimately how your solution will solve for that.
Fantastic. That's really insightful and very helpful from a personal level as well. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who will be, you know, taking a lot of nuggets of information away. So that's great. Thank you for sharing. And Sharon, are there any sort of tips you can sort of give to, you know, entrepreneurs who are looking to, you know, start something themselves or just in that early stages of thinking about an idea, maybe starting to create something?
Yeah, without question, the first thing, and this is comes from my own regret in the past, really dig into what is meaningful for you. Meaning, are you really creating a product, a service, a business ultimately that is sustainable for you in terms of your lifestyle, what's important to you? If you are in this example, I always like to share, if you're a dad and you want to be home with your kids to take them to the park, are you creating the environment that's going to allow you to do that? And that, so what I'm getting at is it comes down to validating your idea. And that's just maybe one small component around lifestyle, but it's validating that the idea is really makes sense for what you ultimately want. Do you see yourself leading this effort in another, 3 years, 5 years? I can share with you, I've created businesses in the past where, man, 3 years in, I was like, oh my gosh, it's time to try to do something else. And it's a horrible feeling because then you have to think about, unraveling, selling, or whatever that looks like for you. So my key around that is one of the things that I've highlighted. I created actually in the Illuminate Hub. So if anyone goes to illuminatenetwork.com/hub, it's just a small community of resources where you can actually take the idea assessment. And that's one of the things that I created over the years to really, and it'll help score for you where you are in terms of that idea and help people make some decisions around that. And I created that because of my own pain having gone through it years ago, but it became a very valuable tool for people as part of the Illuminate community. So the Illuminate Hub is one of those places where you can get tools. And then of course I mentioned Product Launch Lab has sort of the full complete assortment of tools, techniques, and resources.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's brilliant. And I'll definitely be checking those out. That's amazing. And it's really insightful in terms of just getting back to basics in terms of, what's your goal, personal ambitions, not necessarily even the business ambitions are in a way secondary, because unless you get yourself in the right mindset and know where you want to go, if you're the driver behind the business, then you're never going to get to where you want to go or you get to the wrong place. So, I think again, lots of people don't think about what is their ultimate goal. Is it financial freedom? Is it being able to finish work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and be able to pick up the kids from school or whatever it is? I think it's just really knowing truly what you want out of life ultimately, which is what we all want really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's spot on. It's all of the things. And it's such an important aspect of startup life and being an entrepreneur. in addition to the things that people really get consumed about with finances, oh, I need funding, or I need to be able to sell the product or service. Yeah, those things matter. But one of the things that people often don't think about are some of the things that we're talking about here, in terms of the importance of the idea, validating it, and then all the other key components around making sure you're clear on what those major components are so you can launch successfully. I think that's meaningful.
No, absolutely. And one last question, Sharon. Do you find that businesses, when they start out and get through to the launch phase, that they often have to pivot, or do you find that actually once they get to revenue driving sort of situation and they're probably more drilled down on their offering, that doesn't happen so much, and they can dive deeper into their specific niche, if that makes sense?
Well, I got to tell you, it's really funny, because that was one of the reasons I created that whole product launch lab. They, you know, it was born out of a lot of entrepreneurs that I was running into as part of Illuminate Network who were struggling with, they've launched, some of them have even reached very successful levels by any measure, maybe even $1 million or whatever it might be, hundreds of thousands. And that seemed success, but they were stuck there, or they started to diminish. So you may have had a really successful, you know, first effort, but it really started to go backwards from there. And part of that is I can always dig in and sort of put my hat on as an advisor and realize a lot of times it's because certain things were not done in the upfront to ensure the success. And that's where sort of that blueprint gives it, you know, granted it's a blueprint, I'm just giving sort of the high level view around it, but it really is for the purposes of people really not making some of those pivotal mistakes that are really going to cost you down the road. And I can speak to it because I've done it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It literally wasn't until I put pen to paper and really started to map out sort of my success process over years that I was able to make it repeatable and reproducible in terms of just the framework that no matter what business I launched. Now it's been over 197 just as an entrepreneur, not to mention the things I did in corporate. And my point in sharing that is as an investor and an advisor, I see it all the time and I can identify with it because I have made those mistakes. And it's so painful because your heart is in the right place. You've probably spent a lot of money, you're knee deep, you've expended resources, but then you find yourself in a place where you're not getting traction. And so as best as possible, you know, rally around with other entrepreneurs who are in the same pathway to get to the same level of success by following a framework.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, if you, by following that framework, if you can avoid those mistakes, it means, you know, you'd be saving yourself a lot of money. But equally, if you do make those mistakes, I think being able to pivot quickly and not hold on to something maybe too long can lead to sort of big mistakes, and being brave enough to pivot as well. I think that's the thing, is not being too proud to go, you know, and be stubborn to stick it out almost.
So true, and be able to do it quickly, right, Ben?
Yeah.
That's there's no shame in that. The only shame is sticking out something that's really going nowhere.
absolutely. And I was going to ask you one more question, Sharon. It's just escaped me. But any thoughts on sort of how? I mean, again, this is more from a personal perspective, because something I'm working on we haven't gone down the funding route. You know, I think it's too early for us anyway. But any sort of tips for, again, prospective startup founders getting involved with investors and how to go about it, and how to position their businesses, or when might be a good time for them to do it?
Oh yes, this is a great question. I do get a lot of inbound requests from people starting up, and one of the things as an investor just becomes instantly obvious is the idea is not formed. It's not, and even something as creating the conversation. So forget having a, you know, the pitch deck yet, but can you really be clear on what it is this thing is you're trying to launch? Who's it going to benefit? Are you clear on what that looks like? From, do you really know the market? Do you really, can you really articulate how you're going to go from idea to launch? And if you're asking for money and not just advisor support, well, what are you going to do with the money? Right? It's amazing to me that people have these grandiose ideas. Oh, let me have $1 million.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll just pay myself. I don't have to get a job.
Right. It's insane. Okay. So you want $1 million. How does this break down? What does this look like? Or you want even $100,000 or even $10,000? What does that look like? If you're asking for money, if you haven't come with a breakdown on the financials, so there's certain things that really instantly show as unsophisticated to an investor. So whether it's an angel investor or VC, or even friends and family, in my opinion, you still even want to treat friends and family as investors with the same level of respect by having all your ducks in a row and being able to articulate the vision, being able to demonstrate an understanding of the market, being able to demonstrate the care of the financials, right? Those are kind of the key things that go along with it. And sometimes my key takeaway is it makes sense perhaps for an entrepreneur, if you really feel you have a great idea, maybe you shouldn't be asking for money. You should be asking for advisor support. Someone who can be a mentor, an advisor, who might be willing to invest their time for equity in exchange for getting paid in the future. Because why? It's about lining up the idea and transforming that into getting it to a place where now you can actually dig in and get it to the next level and ultimately to launch.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Sharon, that's been incredible. Thank you so much. It's been really insightful, fascinating, you know, to have a chat, and I really, really hope we can do this again sometime. It's been brilliant. But yeah, definitely. Sharon, it's been incredible. So guys, you know, if, please do go and check out Sharon Brown and obviously download all those really helpful guides. I certainly have, and I can't wait to sort of dive deeper into them. And obviously, you know, feel free to, you know, we'll put your contact details on our podcast and things like that, Sharon. So hopefully people can reach out to you.
Yes, and they can find me easily at amplifyequity.co, and that will even bring you to my investor page and advisor page.
That's incredible. So guys, listen, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review and rating, and keep tuned in for many more. Thanks, Sharon. We'll catch up soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Ben.
Take care.